The views and opinions expressed on The World in Crisis with John Gasser do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WJJC Radio, Whisperin' 95.1 FM, any political subdivision, or the United States Navy.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to The World in Crisis with John Gasser. I'm Craig Fisher here in the studios of Whisperin' 95.1 FM, 1270 AM WJJC, and can be heard worldwide on WJJC.com. .net. Like to welcome our listeners worldwide on Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas, as well as those listening on America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia. John, good evening to you, sir.
Well, good evening, Craig, and good evening to Commerce, Georgia, all our internet listeners worldwide, and certainly to our new listeners on FM 95.1. Yes. It's such a privilege to have you with us each week for World in Crisis as we examine God's prophetic word and look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ.
John, I got to tell you something. Events are changing hourly on the world scale, and it's just an absolute amazing time in our lives right now. Everything from the political stream to health, the economics, it's amazing what's happening, and I do believe God's return is very near.
We are seeing God's prophetic word unfold and be fulfilled before our eyes. These are events which are not going to happen. They're happening right before your eyes.
Amen.
And I would also say the events are not only converging, but they are accelerating.
Correct.
At the same time.
It truly is amazing, folks. And John, I want to go ahead and get this evening show start off with our quote of the day, sir.
Well, the quote of the day for this evening comes from Senator Rand Paul.
Oh, okay.
More current quote.
Yeah.
for this week's episode of World in Crisis.
Don't tell him what he said either.
interesting. Quoting Mao, Stalin, and Hitler did not come to power promoting tyranny. They came to power promoting equality, unquote.
Remarkable. And I don't agree with a lot of what he says, but he hit that nail right on the head.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And that is historic, and what he said is historically correct. So what you can anticipate, look, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very carefully. Whether it's the coronavirus, whether it's implantable microchips,
yes.
Whether it is strange weather, whether it is Israel preparing to rebuild the Third Temple, or the peace plan being proffered to resolve the so-called Middle East peace crisis and to promote that process. What is happening is that this world is being prepared for Antichrist. And they are being prepared to worship Antichrist.
We are being desensitized to all of these strange occurrences. So when he steps out, the rapture has happened, we're going to not panic as much as I think we are today.
That would also include the UFO phenomena.
Yes, absolutely.
Or unidentified aerial phenomena.
Yep.
There is good evidence, and I hope to address some of this in coming episodes because I think it is exceedingly important. There's good evidence biblically to suggest that the Nephilim would reappear at the end of time.
Correct.
And I would suggest that based on the scriptural record, that once the church is removed, these beings will manifest themselves in the physical world.
And again, quickly and in vast numbers, I think we'll see them.
And remember, Paul declared that the deception would be so persuasive,
yes,
that it would deceive the very elect.
Correct.
If it were possible. Now, the elect here is not the church. These are individuals who were saved, become saved during the tribulation or the time of Jacob's trouble.
Right.
This is during that 7-year period of judgment. That would be the elect. And, of course, preeminently among the elect would be God's people, Israel.
Right.
But that is not the church being described. But the delusion will be so great and so persuasive that the Scripture says it would deceive the very elect if it were possible.
John, I want to go ahead and just start this show off tonight with what's been in the headlines, no matter what media you're listening to or you're reading today, and that is the coronavirus. Even you mentioned it earlier. We've got to know from a biblical standpoint, what do you think about, what are your reflections on the coronavirus?
Well, I would have to refer you as far as cross-reference to Revelation 6, beginning at verse 1, because when the seals are opened, when Jesus Christ begins to open the seals, what happens at the very beginning? The four horsemen of the apocalypse march forward.
That's right. Yep.
Which would be war, famine, pestilence, and death. What is pestilence?
Pestilence.
It's disease.
Yep.
Okay, so what my exegesis here, ladies and gentlemen, is that what we're seeing are simply calling cards. We are in that period of time which the Bible calls the beginnings of sorrows. We're in the beginning of sorrows. This is just the tip of the iceberg. This is giving you a sense of the types of things that will occur during the time of Jacob's trouble, except on steroids.
Yeah.
It will be horrific beyond anything which you can imagine.
Absolutely.
Your mind cannot grasp the kinds of judgments that are about to come upon this world.
Amen. And I do want to also thank those people who send in questions concerning coronavirus and is it, whether it's a hoax or not, what they should do to prepare for it. My comments to them in the sections where John is not an MD, but we can. He's not a doctor, so we don't want to even go down that road. But he does know, and you can, and you did relate it biblically.
Absolutely. And I would probably put it within this context as well. Whether or not it is a weaponized form of bioweapon that escaped from the P4 lab in Wuhan province,
right,
or whether it came from the fish market, I tend to lean to the former because of some of the contacts and in the circles I move.
Okay.
I have serious doubt as to whether it came from a fish market, but I'm
right,
not going to debate that issue.
Right.
What I can tell you is that because of the circumstances surrounding this virus and the actions being taken by nations around the world,
yes,
it is preparing people to accept totalitarian government.
That's exactly,
they will dictate to you, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to share with our listening audience the executive order numbered 11490, which has been in place for a very long time. It has been reauthorized since the Nixon administration, and you will be horrified and amazed to understand what this does in the event that the President of the United States declares a national emergency. It would, in effect, make the President of the United States a dictator, Craig.
Oh, my gosh. There you go. And it's already set up for that.
And so, and this is global in scope.
Right.
And we know that Antichrist will ascend to power and control a one-world political,
right,
one-world economic, and one-world religious system.
Exactly.
And so, as we go forward into this period of time, which the Bible describes as the beginning of sorrows, the world is being, as you said, desensitized,
yes,
and they are being prepared for the kingdom of Antichrist.
Well, and folks, I truly believe that's what's happening. We are being desensitized everywhere to accept the impossible, and that's what we're going to be doing.
Well, now, here's an interesting nugget.
Yes, sir.
Because for the first time yesterday morning when I woke up and I just checked Fox headlines just to see what was in the news, lo and behold, they report that year to date, 38 million Americans have had the flu and 22,000 have died. I have not heard a chirp about that information.
Wow.
We are not in hyper sensitive mode about people dying by the thousands of the flu. This particular virus has infected about 1,000 or maybe 1,300, and we have about, 24, 30 deaths?
Yep.
I mean,
correct,
in a population of 320 million. So what I would say is that I'm very suspicious because of the disservice and the hype which is being given to this issue by the media, and they seem to exclude anything that doesn't fit their narrative. That, in my mind, is a clue.
And what's say that again. They will discredit what doesn't fit their narrative, and they are trying to get us to conform to their narrative.
They're the ones that sell the narrative.
That's exactly right. They are selling the narrative.
So what it almost does is begins to take on the character of a psyop,
yes.
Psychological warfare. Mm-hmm. I know that what it's doing, directly or indirectly, or certainly I would think unknowingly by many, perhaps knowingly by some,
yeah,
they
right.
are preparing population for absolute totalitarian control, Greg.
Yes, sir. That's exactly what's going down. And folks, understand that. Listen to that. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, as we've about Ann Graham Lotz, who is the daughter of Billy Graham. And she wrote a blog, and she wrote this article saying that Donald Trump's actions could be setting up the last of the last days. And the article was sent to you for your reaction, John.
Well, I concur with Mrs. Lott. And the reason I do
yes.
is, there is good evidence to suggest that President Trump was anointed of God. He certainly was established because we find scripturally in Daniel 2 that God raises kings and kingdoms
right.
and he tears them down.
Right.
So clearly he would not be there if that were not in the plan of God, because Isaiah wrote that God declared the end from the beginning.
Right.
And from ancient times, the things which are not yet done. And so I can tell you that the rabbinic scholars and the rabbis in Israel certainly consider him to be anointed. And because of what he has done for Israel, I would submit biblically that he will be blessed. And this nation, in spite of itself and its faults and failings and sin, will be blessed because God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 12:3 was unconditional.
That's right.
I'll bless those who
That's
bless
right.
you, and I'll curse those who curse you. So Mr. Trump is putting into place, first of all, he has rebuilt and is continuing to rebuild a military
yes.
with projection of force, which is like nothing ever seen on the face of this earth. And in conjunction with that, an intelligence apparatus which will mirror the same types of capabilities. When the trumpet blows and the church is removed, and I would submit Mr. Pence and Mr. Trump with it, because I have on good authority that this man was saved in the summer of 16, and should, certainly not setting a date here, but should
right.
the trumpet blow, and I can tell you, and I've told several friends this, I have no sense of anything after his second term.
And
I don't know what that
go.
Means. I'm not
yep.
saying it means anything.
Right.
I'm just saying that I have no sense of future after 2024 or his second term. Now, the Lord may show me some things here downstream. I don't know
right.
because I don't know the day and the hour. I do know the hourglass is running out because God's prophetic word is being fulfilled and the signs are all around us, you see. But most importantly, in my mind, what President Trump is doing that actually jumpstarts this process and speaking to Ann Graham Lott's specific point,
yes,
the peace plan.
Right.
Because since Oslo was signed in 1993, when Clinton had Arafat and Rabin
yep.
in the Rose Garden, and out of this Oslo Accord came the concept, the notion of land for peace. And, of course, it hasn't worked. But really, there has been no further iteration of that concept since 1993. People have toyed around with it and talked about it and given it lip service, but President Donald J. Trump was the man who actually was the driving force
yes.
between or for negotiating something concrete and putting it on paper. So what we are seeing is that this world is moving inexorably closer to that final agreement, which will be signed by Antichrist. Now, one of the things I'd point out, pick this up a second, I need to turn it down.
Yeah, I've been feverishly looking over here for a narrative, a quote, a little paragraph. I'm going to read you when we're done with this.
Sure.
I found it, and it's about the coronavirus and the government control that you mentioned earlier. So we'll, after this, we'll take a quick step back.
Okay, well, in Daniel 9:27, the Antichrist and he, this is the prince of verse 26, and he will make a, or he will confirm a covenant with the many for 1 week. Now, that's a sabbatical week of years. Each week is 7 years long, or 360 days each. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Now, of course, the Bible here is talking about Antichrist.
Yes.
And notice the language. He confirms the covenant,
right,
which in the context of this text, the context of that scripture, clearly indicates there is at least some pro forma plan or document. Now, I would quickly submit that he has to expand on it, because what has not been resolved, and the president's plan doesn't resolve, would be the religious dimension,
right,
and in particular, or more specifically, Temple Mount and the rebuilding of the temple, which I believe will be authorized under the false peace of Antichrist.
Amen. And I'm glad you pointed that out, because I do think this is what's going to happen. This will be part of that false teaching of Antichrist. We have come to the end of our first segment.
You're going to give me the paragraph after we come.
I've got a narrative I'm going to give to you. Folks, stay tuned with us, because John mentioned the coronavirus. We talked a little bit about the one world government. This narrative is pretty amazing, and we're going to talk about it when we return from this break on The World in Crisis with John Gassert. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone, to The World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm Craig Fisher here in the studios of Whispering 95.1 FM, 1270 AM WJJC, and can be heard worldwide on WJJC.net. Welcome back, our listeners listening to us out of America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. John, welcome back to you, sir. And I do want to read you this narrative real quick, about four, five sentences here. But
sure.
This is one thing we talk about going out. It says here, and now this is I've seen this on Facebook. Others might have seen it. And just like that, the government controls all sporting events, concerts, jobs, colleges, medical facilities, whether or not you can leave your house. They've depleted resources such as toilet paper and food, controls all travel. And you guys wonder why they develop and use viruses to scare the public. They now control you and everything about your life. See how easy that was? Mass panic, hysteria, complete control of literally the entire world over a virus. One that the survival rates are extremely high. Freedom has been limited overnight. See how easy that was? It's the government control that you're talking about.
Right, but now let's make a correction. That is far more expensive. What he's describing there has not taken place yet.
That's correct.
They have only scratched the surface. They don't have complete control. Yep. There are some travel restrictions,
yep,
and depending on the country you're in, restrictions are more or less, and those sorts of things. But they are being prepared.
That's it.
For a global system of totalitarian control. Now,
yes, sir.
Just to put this in perspective,
yeah,
and before we go any further, let me just time out here and say how sorry I am that we were not able to have a new broadcast last week,
right,
because I had some extremely important information, and that's probably going to get pushed out to next week because of the type of discussion which we're having here right now.
Okay.
But I certainly, as promised, am going to get to the Star of Renfan.
That's right.
Which I had promised 2 weeks ago. And I may try to touch on why the time of Jacob's trouble is called the time of Jacob's trouble, not the time of Israel's trouble.
Okay.
Actually, there's some very There's some very important nuances to that particular issue. In any event, what Craig is speaking to and what many people do not know, and what I'm about to share with you, is that going back to about the, I think the first one may have been signed in the Nixon administration. I certainly know that this executive order has been reissued by every president since the Nixon administration, and it is EO 11490.
Okay.
And certainly there's the list, all the cabinet positions from state, treasury, interior, agriculture, commerce, HHS, so forth, functions can be delegated back and forth. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully.
Okay.
Under the terms of Executive Order 11490, the President of the United States can order that a national emergency exist and can then take over all communications media, seize all sources of power, electric, nuclear, petroleum, control all food resources, seize all forms of transportation, control all highways and seaports, seize railroads, inland waterways, and storage facilities, commandeer all civilians to work under federal supervision, control all activities related to health, education, and welfare, register every man, woman, and child in the United States, shift any segment of the population from one locality to another, control all devices capable of emitting electromagnetic radiation, institute extraordinary measures with respect to any facility, system, or service essential to national survival, take over farms, ranches, or timberland properties so as to protect, manage, and utilize them effectively, demand emergency welfare services, food, clothing, and lodging in private homes for those in need, regulate the amount of money, your money, that you can withdraw from your bank or savings and loan institution, close the stock exchanges and freeze stock and bond prices. All of these items listed, plus many more, which are clearly enumerated on 32 pages and incorporating nearly 200,000 words, pertain to every previous executive order ever issued unless specifically revoked.
Wow.
That should scare you to death.
It does. That's the first I've heard that, and that was my reaction. You've got to be kidding me, but that would should scare you to death, John. Wow.
Which effectively would make the President of the United States a dictator. Now,
correct.
Let's fast forward. Let's forget about the coronavirus. Let's forget about some regional war in the Middle East.
Okay.
But let's discuss the disappearance, literally into thin air, something which Newtonian physics says is impossible.
Right.
Of hundreds of millions of people across the face of this round earth vanishing into thin air. And subsequently, a state of global emergency is declared by a man who steps forth to lead. Consider what a slippery slope we're on this very day, Craig.
Folks, and as these events are unfolding in front of our eyes, that day, that blink of an eye that these hundreds of millions disappear all at one time is drawing closer by the second.
Pick this up a second.
Yes, and I'll be happy to, because again, folks, this rapture of God's church, of God's family, is what John's talking about. It could literally happen. It will happen, but it could literally happen before this sentence is finished right now. We have no idea when that's going to happen. We do know it will happen before the time of Jacob's trouble.
And what Paul described to the Thessalonican church is that when the Lord Jesus descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ rise first, and then we who are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord mm-hmm. shall be caught up to meet him in the clouds, and thus shall we be with the Lord forever. Paul explained in 1 Corinthians 15 that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. 1/1,000th of a second is what scientists describe as the twinkling of an eye. So in the blink of an eye, this entire world will change instantly.
Correct.
And virtually overnight, Craig.
And evil will surface and will run wild because the restrainer will have been removed.
Taken out of the way. There will not be any restraint.
Right. Evil. And the restrainer, folks, we're talking about the Holy Spirit.
Right. But, you see, they are being prepared to believe a lie right now.
Yes.
They are fed lies and what you have, ladies and gentlemen, in the mainstream media, if I change hats and start thinking like a military officer and so forth, resembles what is nothing more than a propaganda organ to promote certain narratives.
Right.
And discredit other narratives. And what do you think will be coming out of the idiot's box, the television screen, once the church is removed?
Yep.
It will be nothing but praises to Antichrist.
That's all. It's going to be exactly what I'm saying. They're going to lift up the Antichrist and put him on top of the world.
And you'll be fed lies.
Absolutely.
It's interesting. Just look within the context of today's world.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's interesting that the New York Times calls 11,000 gun murders an epidemic, but 10,000, almost 10,500 late-term abortions exceedingly rare and not worthy of discussion?
Not worthy of discussion. That's the phrase I remember.
So is there a problem with what I just
read?
Is there a problem with that narrative? Well, certainly.
Yeah, there is.
It's a lie. It's at its core, it's a lie. Jesus Christ declared Satan to be a murderer from the beginning and the father of lies. And that's what this world is going to be fed, and they'll lap it up. And not only will they lap it up, something far more serious will have occurred, because many, and many today, have fallen to what Paul described to his young understudy Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, that in the latter time some would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Right.
This might as well be doctrines of devils,
right.
You see. And so by the means of the hypocrisy of liars, mm-hmm. their conscience seared as with a branding iron. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot be saved unless you are convicted of sin.
Correct.
If you cannot differentiate the difference between right and wrong, how, pray tell, might you be convicted of sin so as to see the truth and receive Jesus Christ so as to be saved? Now, God can do anything, mm-hmm. but what is described here by Paul resembles closely the same situation which happened with Pharaoh.
Right.
Because Pharaoh hardened his heart. After every plague, Pharaoh hardened his heart, but at the end, God hardened his heart. And he was done. And you'll be done too.
Folks, we're not saying now that there won't be salvations during
That's not what I said.
I want to point that out. He is not saying there won't be salvations during the time of Jacob's trouble. It will be very difficult, and it will have to be carried out sacrifice to sacrifice, because the rule of law is what's going to be governing the land then, not the Holy Spirit.
Well, you will have returned to the economy of law.
Exactly.
And you cannot be saved. That's why it says that the Holy Ghost is taken out of the way.
Yes.
He's not removed.
Yes.
You can't be saved without the Holy Ghost.
That's true.
Right. But the Holy Ghost will, like in Old Testament times, which it is, you will have returned to that dispensation to complete it. The Holy Ghost did not seal people in that day.
Right.
He could not legally seal them because the permanent sacrifice was not made. And the reason he doesn't seal them during the time of Jacob's trouble is because the economy of law was put on hold.
Yes.
At the end of 69
right.
weeks, there is still 1 week of a sabbatical week of years to complete
right.
it, which also provides a way that the temple is bona fide. Antichrist could not desecrate a temple that's not bona fide.
Correct. Yeah, wouldn't make you anything.
No. It'd be meaningless.
That's right.
That's why Jesus said in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, you see. Paul calls it the temple of God, describing it to the Thessalonican church. And the angel in Revelation 11 tells John to rise up and measure the temple of God. For the first 1,260 days, those sacrifices made by observant Jews are efficacious.
Okay.
Now, at one and the same time, the gospel will be preached by the 144,000 Jews. The gospel will also be preached by the two witnesses who protect Israel in the temple during the first half of the tribulation period, or the time of Jacob's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And later, you have an angel flying through the midst of heaven, described in Revelation, preaches the eternal gospel to men on earth. Three sources of the gospel message.
Yes.
During that period of time. However, once Antichrist desecrates the temple at the midpoint of the tribulation, those sacrifices cease to be efficacious. Now those Jews only have a few options. Certainly, they are told to flee into the wilderness, and most scholars think to Petra, to be protected by God until his son comes back. And they see him coming in the clouds in glory, and they'll believe on him. Or they can receive that gospel so as to be saved. Mm-hmm. But regardless of whether you are Jew or Gentile, once you have prayed to receive Christ, you have to be faithful unto death,
right,
because you are not sealed. The only people
right.
sealed during that period of time are the 144,000 Jews, and we find the same Greek root, phraizo, used of that population as Paul uses of the church in Ephesians 1. Because when you are saved today in the age of grace, you are sealed.
Right.
That's why you cannot lose your salvation
right.
today. But in that day, you can. You have to be faithful unto death.
John, a question comes to my mind. You talked about then the three ways, if you will, of salvation during the time of Jacob.
The gospel message.
I'm sorry, the gospel message being printed. Yeah, that's correct. During the time of Jacob's trouble. It brings to mind a question that was actually brought up at my church this past weekend. It wasn't brought up to me. I heard people talking about it. But
sure.
how do people today in the farthest, remotest countries of the world that have never seen a white man, has never seen a missionary, that has no idea how to read or write more than what they can do on their own, can they be saved? How do they go to heaven? Are they part of God's protected people, not past the age of accountability? These are questions that came up.
Well, clearly, in Matthew's gospel, and when Christ is addressing the Great Commission and so forth,
yes,
he said that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the entire world, and then shall the end come.
Mm-hmm.
Now, note, he is not, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very carefully. Christ was not saying it has to be preached to every creature before the rapture of the church.
There you go.
It has to be preached to the entire world before the second coming.
Right.
Before his feet hit the Mount of Olives, which is on the east. And it will be. However, to your question, my exegesis based on Scripture is if there are such, and there may be a few,
right?
But I would say a precious few,
right?
Because there are TVs out in the bush.
Yeah, that's
in
true.
Okay,
that's very true. Yeah,
we're not talking. That's the atheist argument. That's what you hear every time that you can go, well, what about the natives in Africa?
Yeah.
Well, most of them know.
Yeah, that's right.
Is the first response, but if you have someone who doesn't, God will judge them based on the amount of light they're given.
There you go.
But Paul clearly preached, and all you have to do is go to Romans 1, the book of Romans, and he declared that the heavens declare the glory of God. And we also know, and he preached, that God wrote his law on man's heart and conscience, you see. So they have an innate sense of God.
Right.
And I would submit that their judgment would be based on what they were doing and the actions they took to seek out the one true God.
Amen. I appreciate that because I've heard that. I think you and I have even talked about this very subject in the past, and I agree with that because they're not going to know. They have to pray a prayer and then, you know, go on in obedience after that with baptism and whatever. They don't have that capability of knowing that, but they have it written on their heart to do so. It's going. Their judgment will be on how they lived their life. They still can spend an eternity in heaven if they were to die today in that situation.
Well, again, depending on the light they were getting.
Absolutely. I agree. I think that I agree with
you. And we might as well go ahead and point out that you have the issue of the age of accountability.
Yes.
Children are not in hell.
Yes.
Babies are not in hell.
That's right. Right.
They are under grace.
And we just have a minute left, so let me just make this point since we have this extra little time here. The age of accountability that John is talking about is a mental age. If a chronological human is 30 years old and does not have the mind of a 10-year-old, that person is not past the age of accountability. If they were to die at 30, they will go to heaven.
That would be my exegesis.
And I've heard that many. I agree with that.
The age of accountability, I would submit, based on Scripture.
Yes.
That the age of accountability is probably 13.
I agree.
Because that is when a young Jewish man recites the law and becomes accountable for it. Now, that is for a normal person, ladies and gentlemen. As Craig described,
yes.
If you have a 30-year-old with the mind of a 7-year-old
yes.
or a 6-year-old, God will deal with that individual
correct.
As he would a 6-year-old.
That's exactly
you
right.
See.
And I agree.
God is just.
Right.
And he's merciful.
I've heard the argument so many times that if the
Amen.
Age of accountability, you know, I've got a Down syndrome relative and that person God will take care of them.
They are under grace.
They sure are. We're going to step out, take our last break on this edition of The World in Crisis with John Gassert. Be back right after this. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone, to The World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm Craig Fisher here in the studios, whispering 95.1 FM, 1270 AM, WJJC Radio, and worldwide on WJJC.net. Welcome back, listeners, on America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. John, welcome back to you, sir. Before we get started on this segment, I do want to say something you mentioned earlier. You'd mentioned, you know, here's topic A, topic B that we said we're going to try to cover this week, but it's not going to happen. I want our listeners to remember and those new ones to understand this show is not scripted. This ministry, this program does not have a script that we follow. We are driven by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will tell us where to go with these subjects and with these topics that we face. The closest thing we come to a script is when we get questions from listeners. I'll get those to him ahead of time. We'll talk about them, and then he will answer them on the show. That's the closest thing we have to a script.
Uh-huh. I don't want to make him a liar. Sometimes I hear about him when I walk in the door.
He's right about that. You heard three or four today when you walked in. So, yeah, that's exactly right. I do want people to understand this show truly is prayed over, prayed about, this entire ministry is, and the Holy Spirit, we truly believe, is leading us on the routes that we take, John.
No, the Holy Ghost drives this show, and
yes.
Sometimes I'm surprised at what I start espousing.
Well, even when I listen to some of them on the archives, you can get archives of the last 12 shows on WJJC.net, I said, I can't believe I said that. Then I realized that wasn't me. That was the Holy Spirit.
Well, I had a conversation with one of our board members here recently, and the issue came up. I'm an expository preacher.
Right.
I don't have to follow. I'm just the messenger boy.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost. I pray for utterance by the Holy Ghost.
Amen. That's
before
right.
I open my mouth in a pulpit, or before I open my mouth in front of this radio microphone or a Sunday school class, whatever I'm doing in right. terms of teaching or preaching, I depend on the Spirit. And so, therefore, you have an entirely different type of message and ministry.
That's correct.
I preach Christ Jesus crucified, risen, and coming again soon, and have since I was ordained in 2004. Now, moving right along, because there's so much information,
yes.
Very difficult to triage these days, but I did want to mention this as kind of a concluding point to some of this discussion.
Okay.
You've got to be very careful, ladies and gentlemen, to to discern error from truth and what you're being exposed to in some of these churches. Because there is exploding apostasy, doctrinal error, and outright heresy in pulpits across all mainline denominations in this country. And you've got to be grounded in the Word.
Correct.
So that you can differentiate and you can discern truth from what is a lie or has been changed just a little bit.
That's right.
And Paul speaks to this in 2 Corinthians 11, and I'm going to read just a couple of verses here, beginning at verse 3. But I am afraid, this is Paul writing, but I am afraid lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. The gospel message is simple.
Wow, yeah.
For
yeah.
if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. And you've got to reject that, because what you wind up with is another Jesus.
That's exactly
one right. of your own creation.
Right.
And that is a gospel and a Jesus which cannot and will not
Amen.
Save you.
That's right. It will not. And we've even heard celebrities, I think back a few years to Oprah Winfrey, who says the Jesus of today is not the same Jesus as the one in the Bible. She's trying to change a new Jesus to conform to this world. That's not what the Jesus in the Bible is all about.
But the Scripture declares that Christ Jesus is the same yesterday,
yes.
today, and forever.
Amen. That's exactly
you
right.
You see, it's all a lie.
That's right. That's all a lie, John.
All a lie. Now, real quickly, I did want to touch on this, and I'm kind of baiting you, ladies and gentlemen, for next week's program,
yep.
God willing. I can get into some more detail and depth into this issue, because remember, at the end of time, it's all about Israel.
That's right.
We're worried about coronavirus and the stock market and God only knows what else. But at the end of the day, if you want to know what time it is, you've got to see what the world and how the world is treating God's people,
That's
Israel.
Exactly right.
Who
exactly
have
right.
been restored to the land, albeit in unbelief. Now, I'm back in, as Kimmy, I'm going back to Genesis.
Yes.
As Kenham says, I'm in chapter 32. And here we find that Jacob, excuse me, is trying to make some amends with his brother Esau.
Okay.
And has gotten some presents together and so forth.
Right.
And his entourage, he commands, I'm going to pick up in verse 19, it's because we're going to be running out of time.
Sure.
Then he commanded also the second and third and all those who followed the drove, saying, after this manner shall you speak to Esau when you find him, and you shall say, behold, your servant Jacob also is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me. Then afterward I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me. So he's trying to make peace with Esau.
Right.
So the present passed on before him while he himself spent that night in the camp. Now he arose that same night and took his two wives and his two maids and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them and sent them across the stream and he sent across whatever he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh, so the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed.
Amen.
Now, most scholars believe and submit their exegesis as this being the pre-incarnate form of Christ.
Okay.
Yep. Now, one of the things that Jacob was injured. Mm-hmm. He dislocated his thigh, and he had a limp, and some think he limped the rest of his life. But one thing is sure, he certainly knew the next morning it was not a dream.
Right.
God changed his name from Israel, from Jacob to Israel. Now, I'm going to have to shorten this because
yes.
because of the clock is ticking.
Correct.
And we're under a different format here with the new programming.
Yes.
The name Jacob means trickster or deceiver.
Okay.
Remember, Jacob deceived his father.
That's true.
Put the hair on the back of his hands and made him think he was Esau to receive the blessing of his father Isaac. Well, Israel means Prince of God. Now, at the end, and we're almost at the end, we have what is described in Isaiah 28 as the time of Jacob's trouble.
Right.
But God, in Genesis 32, renamed him Israel, which begs the question, ladies and gentlemen, why is this period of time not called the time of Israel's trouble as opposed to the time of Jacob's trouble?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, they're still deceived. They are still deceived. They will be Israel when Jesus Christ ascends the throne of David forever and forever and forever. But right now, they are approaching the time of Jacob's trouble. And they are still deceived. They were looking for a warrior king to deliver them from the oppression of Rome. And what they got was a lamb. They are going to be looking for deliverance. But what they're getting the next time is a warrior king.
Amen.
Because it will be the Lion of the tribe of Judah who roars out of the heavens to smite the enemies and all the nations which come against Israel. And he'll make his enemies a footstool. And he will deliver his people Israel. And all Israel will be saved in a day, as the scripture declares. And Jesus Christ will ascend to the throne of David forever and forever. And the Lord, the word of the Lord shall go forth, and the law will go forth from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And this world will be a very different place. And he will lead on into eternity.
Folks, it will be a very different place. I never knew the difference in why it's called the time of Jacob's trouble.
Right.
Again,
but right now, they are still deceived.
Still deceived.
Because they are still looking for the Messiah.
Yep.
And what happened was that Jesus, as Jesus told them on his way to Jerusalem for the last time, he said, I would have gathered you under my wing as a mother chick, hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. You did not know the time of thy visitation. They missed him.
Amen.
And they're still missing him. But as the prophet Zechariah declares, when he comes in the clouds of glory, and every eye will see him, and they will look on me whom they have pierced. When did the Jews ever pierce God?
Him. That's right.
At Calvary.
On the cross.
He was wounded in the house of his friends. But every one of us, ladies and gentlemen, you don't understand. We all nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. It was your sin and mine and the sin of every man, because from Adam and the fall that sin entered the world by one man's sin, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and death upon all men. But Jesus Christ, the last Adam, paid, was the propitiation, and paid the debt, the sin debt which could not be paid by anyone else but God himself. And he shed his blood on Calvary for you and for me. And what we need today are men who will receive the Lord Jesus so as to be saved and then stand in the gap to proclaim his truth and his gospel. I beg you, I plead with you, my final thought is Romans 8:1, There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, and you'll pass from death to life and life eternal. And you will escape the judgment that is about to come upon this world. May the Lord richly bless you.
Folks, if you are hearing this ministry program today, you have time. You still can be a family member of the Lord Jesus Christ and get away from this rapture and the time of Jacob's trouble. So please, please, don't wait. Today is the day of salvation, John.
Amen. Do not play Russian roulette with eternity.
Amen. That's exactly right. For John Gassert, I'm Craig Fisher, here with The World in Crisis. Thanks for listening.